Welcome back. This is the Life, Business, and Money Radio Show. I'm your host, Stephen Kay. It is always my honor and privilege to share this time with you. We do this show every weekday right here live at StephenKayLive.com. And if you have a question or comment and you're listening to us live, you can join the show at 713-STEPHEN-KAY. If you're listening to a podcast, you can still call me at that number and you will reach me directly, 713-783-8365. Shoot an email to me at StephenKayLive.com. Chat with us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, or Google+, and we'll be glad to have a talk with you. Today is the health edition of Life, Business, and Money, and this is a very important conversation because it does impact how well we perform in our daily lives, which does impact our success. And Dr. Dan, I know we're going to get to the soy topic in just a moment, but I mean, this is something that I think many of us realize about our own well-being, but don't necessarily put it into practice when it comes to really taking every possible effort to take care of ourselves and allow us to feel better so we can do more throughout the day.
Well, certainly, Stephen. I mean, it's no question that we often take care of others, take care of the business, take care of the family before we take care of ourselves. And so, you know, one of the reasons that we do this show is just to really help people get back in touch with their own health and well-being, making good choices, and then making educated choices. Unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of things out there that don't, like soy, for example, that you've probably heard that soy is a health food. There's a lot of vegetarians that eat soy because it's supposed to be a health food. And there are really a number of concerns around soy, and so many that, you know, books have been written on it. And yet it's, you know, basically believed it's something that we should do, and it's really good for us. And it's now in over, you know, 5,000 foods. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge to be healthy at some level, but when you educate yourself, it becomes simple.
We have been told, well, getting into the topic pretty quickly here, soy is not a health food. If you disagree, call 713-STEPHEN-KAY and tell Dr. Dan why, and he'll show you the research. But, you know, we've been told it's a good alternative to dairy. We've been told it's, it gives us just as much protein as meat. And there's all of these things that are telling us, hey, this is a healthy product. And here you've outlined in the article that you wrote for our newsletter this week, which if you're listening to the show, you can find under today's episode at StephenKayLive.com. Just click the Read More link under today's show. Soy is not a health food. And you can see some of the things that Dr. Dan is going to point out here for us.
Absolutely. Stephen, you know, it's funny when you really read the history of soy, like you really get into understanding how soy became so big on the United States market, you almost get outraged. And that's not included in the article, but basically that concept is what we found out is that they with the soy protein isolate, which is what most people are eating, right, is this soy protein. It was a byproduct of some things that they were using for manufacturing other stuff. And they were like, well, what are we going to do with all this stuff? And they realized, well, wait a second, we could just feed it to humans. And it was really, like, not motivated in the right direction. You know, there was a little bit of, tata information saying, well, wait a second, don't the Japanese, the Chinese, don't they eat soy? Isn't there a soy in their diet normally? You know, what's the story there? And we really have to clear that up before I think we go into all the, you know, the negative issues. And the first thing to understand is the amount of soy that Asians eat is very, very little, okay? Very small portions each day. And they never eat regular soy. They only eat fermented soy. And when we get into the article today, I'll explain to you why there's such a huge difference between fermenting soy and actually just like cooking soy or making soy protein isolate, which is not even near, you know, what God put on the planet. So we'll talk a little bit about that today, but it's just really interesting to me sometimes because we've talked about this a few times, how the food manufacturers kind of drive this situation, instead of health driving the situation.
You know, the first thing that comes to my mind on this topic is the one I just mentioned previously, and that's the dairy comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Dairy, and we've got to be careful here because even the milk that we buy on the shelf isn't necessarily the natural milk made the way we're supposed to drink it. So when we're even comparing those two things, it's almost like comparing two unhealthy products.
Right.
Which one's better for us?
Right. Yeah, it's really challenging because, like, we've talked about this, Stephen. We said, you know, God's putting food on the planet, and if we eat those foods in the way that God's put them on the planet, we're going to be healthy. That's a general thing. Now, of course, there's some modifications. Like, for example, with soy, you don't go and just eat soybeans. Not with what we know today, and we'll get into this in a minute. But what you can do is you can ferment them. Now, you know, this has been known in Asia for thousands of years. Okay, so the concept is that we just kind of ignored one of the most important things that the Asians were doing to make soy a healthier food for themselves, and we've created this cascading event of creating all sorts of problems. You know, some of the problems are nutritional deficiencies. It seems insane that you would be taking something that you think is healthy for you, and you're actually creating nutritional deficiencies in your body.
But we do this with a lot of the different foods that we eat because of the chemicals that are put in. And we've talked about this before. The chemicals that are added, the preservatives, the toxins that are included in our foods today was not the way nature and God intended for us to have food. And yeah, we're doing that so that we can feed the masses and keep food on the shelf longer, but it's ending up costing us so many different health concerns. And just because we're living longer does not mean that we're living better.
Well, yeah, I'm always about quality of life. As you know, that's one of the things that I do in my practice is we work with whole food nutrients with people, and we upregulate their physiology so that they can live their life to their ideal level, to their genetic potential, to what God's given them. Most of us are living at less than that. And when we live less than that, we don't actually get to move forward into the big dreams that God's put, you know, in our lives. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right with that. This is, you know, I think we should, you know, just kind of get into some of the concepts here because it's probably hard for the listeners to grab to. And the point that I want to make is that there's actually anti-nutrients in soy. There's actually things that block the absorption of nutrition. Now, it's not just saying, okay, well, that means you're not getting anything from soy. What it means is it's actually blocking your ability to get nutrients from other foods. Now, that's scary.
That is scary.
So now you're eating lots of soy because you heard it was really good for you. For example, it's been purported to be very good for breast cancer, right? And so I'm sure you probably heard this, you know, oh, it helps balance the hormones. Soy is very good for people. You know, there's less breast cancer with soy. You know, there's all this stories out there. And it's a little scary when we find out that's really not what's going on. And when we see the endocrine disruption, endocrine is a fancy way to say the hormonal disruption. So the neurohormonal system gets disrupted from this. And we start to actually see certain things happen that look like the beginning of, create more of the beginning of breast cancer. And you're like, wait a second, that's not, you know, I'm not saying it's causing breast cancer, but it's starting to give us signs and signals that, breast cancer may be coming, okay? And that's kind of scary because now we're saying the thing that we're trying to do to avoid, we're eating a whole bunch of it and we're making more breast cancer happen.
I've got to imagine, though, that these things that we're being told are founded on some sort of research that allows it to be true. So where's the disconnect?
Well, in my world, I like to see what actually happens in human beings, and a lot of research, they like to see what happens in a test tube. And the last time I checked, you're not a test tube. So this is the problem with research sometimes, is people look in a test tube and they say, look, okay, it's blocking this hormone. And, you know, we're enhancing this hormone, like soy sometimes purported to help, you know, with balancing estrogen. And so if we're looking at that, we're saying, okay, that sounds good. So everybody should eat it. But actually seeing what happens in the human being when you give them a whole bunch of soy is a whole nother story. See, in a lab, for anyone to do any sort of research, they have to break it down to the smallest part. This is actually, by the way, the same thing that happens with pharmaceuticals. They have to bring it down to the smallest, tiniest, thing that they can measure and get rid of all the other factors. Well, the problem is all the other factors have something to do for us. So if we're blocking nutrients that go to our thyroid, for example, which is one of the things that we discuss in the article, so there's actually anti-thyroids, or these phytoestrogens are potent anti-thyroid agents, okay, then our hormonal system can be out of balance. We can move towards autoimmune thyroid disease. But, okay, so we're maybe created something better in the estrogen side, but we created all this other problems with thyroid hormones, but they don't measure that in the lab, see? They're only measuring the estrogen. If that's what they're measuring, they're just measuring that. They're not measuring the cascading effect in the entire body. And that's how the disconnect happens.
And I think that's an important thing that we always need to be looking at with our health. It happens the same thing with medication. Medication may address one thing, mm-hmm. but it's causing 10 other things to happen at the same time that may not be the best thing for our body.
It's certainly true. I see it every single day when I take the case histories on people, and one of the first things I do is I go and I look and see the medications they're on, and I look at the side effects from those medications, and you'd be surprised how often the side effects of the medications are problems that they're entering in the practice with.
I know this is a little bit off the topic, but that cracks me up. You see these commercials from pharmaceutical companies these days, and then all of a sudden they'll go through the side effects, and they go through the side effects, and they go through them rather quickly in the legalese voice.
Right.
And every once in a while I'll catch one where one of the side effects is the symptom that you're trying to get rid of in the first place.
It is almost always there. Yeah, I know. It's really mind-boggling to me.
It's
it really
like,
is.
Well, then why take the medication?
Yeah, yeah. And it's very challenging, Stephen. It's very challenging. Now, I'm not telling anybody out there, and it would be very clear, this is not medical advice over the radio telling people to quit their medications. That's not what I do. What I do is I help upregulate physiology, get people healthy, and then if we see something like that that's out of balance, we send you back to your medical doctor and have them reassess what's going on.
Well, I agree with you there, because I think that there are times where those types of things are necessary. Those things were created with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a very specific purpose. I do believe that, me personally, and I'm not a doctor, I'm just a radio guy, but I do believe that they're overused in today's society and culture. We want to take a pill and have a quick fix and get on with our day, but it doesn't necessarily always lead to the best solution for what ails us.
Right.
So getting back to today's subject, the same thing is true with the food that we take into our body. And if we're looking for a healthy alternative and we see something that says, hey, this product is good, like soy,
mm-hmm.
well, then maybe I should start doing that and end up not realizing all of the other effects that it has on us.
Oh, yeah. It's very, very challenging. And granted, I understand that you don't have the time to read and do what I do and look at what I look at and go to the seminars that I have. So that's why I coach people on these things. That's why we write the articles. We do the shows. It's just to try to start educating a little bit at a time. You know, there's very few people that are going to drastically change everything they do in one visit, right? It's a process. It's a titration. It's a learning. We go to pick something up and we read on the side of it that it has hydrogenated oils. We think twice about it because we've heard Dr. Dan talk about that. I mean, that's the concepts. And the same thing is here true with soy. Now, does a little soy get into my diet from time to time? Yes. But, you know, what do? I'm cautious. I try to make sure that if it is, it's fermented, okay? So like soy sauce, you know, is a better situation. If you're allergic to wheat, you can do tamari, which doesn't have the wheat in it. So it's basically soy sauce without the wheat.
Hmm.
And, you know, so these are things that you can do that are fermented. But if you're thinking about going out and buying edamame because it's your favorite thing, you might want to think twice about that, because sitting down to a plate of edamame that's going to have these phytoestrogens that disrupt the endocrine function, causes infertility, causes breast cancer, that causes the anti-thyroid agents that we were talking about and, you know, moves us towards low thyroid, which is called hypothyroidism. And that's a bigger and bigger issue in our society today for more reasons than just soy, but we don't want to do anything else that's going to move us to hypothyroidism. And then there was even some supposition that it can move towards thyroid cancer and autoimmune thyroid disease. I mean, these are just a few of the things, and we haven't even gotten to the others yet.
You're listening to Dr. Dan Cuney, our customized clinical nutritionist. If you want more information about soy and why it is unhealthy for you, you can check out his website, drdanwellness.com. If you'd like to talk to him about the things that are in your diet that you may be coming concerned with, well, then I suggest that you give him a call and have a consult with him or find out when his next free seminar is and attend one of those for an introduction to Dr. Dan and the nutritional advice that he has for you and your well-being. You can call him today at 713-295-9358. That's 713-295-9358. 9358. Again, his website, drdanwellness.com. When you go to his website, you know, I point you to the show site for this particular day's topic. But when you go to drdanwellness.com, there you'll not only find today's show with the audio archive and the article that he wrote for the LBM radio newsletter, you'll find all of the other shows that he's done, the articles he's written, some videos that he's posted online, some of the additional research on things that you should eat, things that you should not eat, toxins to avoid putting in your mouth. You'll find self-assessment tests that you can take to evaluate your own health and well-being as it stands today, and then start taking steps toward creating better health in your own life by following some very simple nutritional guidelines that will allow your body to process the nutrients it needs the way God intended. You can find all of this online at drdanwellness.com. And of course, you can call, if you don't like to read like me, then just call the guy and set an appointment. Dr. Dan is available to talk to you. 713-295-9358. And he'll be glad to either get you into one of his seminars that are at no charge or have a private consult with him at his office. Dr. Dan, when we come back, you have a lot of information in the article that you wrote today about the things that soy can produce in our bodies, the effects that soy has on us. And I mean, this list, this is the longest article you've ever written because there's so many things that soy can do that's harmful to us. And I don't even know if you've listed them all or not, but it's long enough to actually scare me.
Yeah, well, that was the intention.
So if you want to read more of that, again, you can find it online under today's show at StephenKLive.com. And in the meantime, if you want to talk to Dr. Dan, he's available here for you at 713-783-8365. That's 713-STEVENK. Shoot an email to me at StephenKLive.com. You can ask him on the air or off. And chat with us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, or Google+. More happening on LBM Radio in just a moment. Welcome back. This is Life, Business, and Money Radio. I want to thank you for tuning in today. We do this show every day for your benefit on giving you advice, tips, and information on how you can improve your life, your business, your money. Today we're focused on the life side of the LBM radio equation, and we're talking about your health with Dr. Dan Cuney, our customized clinical nutritionist. Dr. Dan Cuney says, and this is backed up by research, that soy is not a health food as we are commonly led to believe. And Dr. Dan, in your article, you go, I know we cannot cover this all in one short hour that we do this show. But you go into a lot of different things that soy can produce in our body, the things that soy contains that are harmful to us, the impact that it can have on our health and well-being. And I'd like to hit as many of those as we possibly can to really help people understand why they need to be more cautious when they're eating food and other products that contain soy.
Certainly, Stephen. Well, we already mentioned this whole concept of these phytoestrogens, which are plant estrogens that disrupt the endocrine function, the thyroid function. So we already talked about that. We should also talk about phytic acid. And phytic acid, yes, I know these are words we are not used to hearing, but what they do is they actually block and reduce our body's ability to uptake calcium, magnesium, copper, iron, and zinc. As you may know, these are very important minerals to our function of our body. And so when this phytic acid is blocking it, that's another reason not to eat soy. Okay, so none of the normal preparations of soy will ever, it doesn't matter how you cook it and so on, the only way to change some of this is with fermentation. And trypsin inhibitors are also in here, so we know that this stunted growth, so there's a whole other article which I didn't get into today, but I'm just going to mention it real quickly. You've probably heard a lot of people talking about giving soy milk to their children, right, because mm-hmm. they may be having some trouble with cow milk, with some allergens and things like that, so they give them soy milk. Well, it's a good idea to get away from the cow milk if it's a food allergen for them, but it's a bad idea to move to soy because we know that it has these trypsin inhibitors which cause stunted growth. So we believe a lot of the challenges that kids are having with growing to normal, you know, heights today have a lot to do with this. Now, a lot of this information is on the Weston Price website that you can look at.
I'll have to ask my mom if she fed me soy as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm pretty short.
Yeah. So we can research that. We don't have really enough time to go into all of that today, but I just wanted to mention it because moms, that should wake you up and say, oh, I want to learn it more. You can go to my website, look at the Weston Price link. It'll click you right over and you can start reading some of that information. And then there B12. B12 is an issue for vegetarians and meat eaters alike, but a lot of times it's more talked about with vegetarians because B12 is very hard to get out of vegetarian food, okay? And so what happens is some people say to go to soy for this, but their B12, it's an analog. It's something that looks like B12, but it isn't actually B12. And what it does is it actually blocks the body's absorption of real B12. It's sort of like I'm putting a fake key in a lock, and then because I put that fake key in the lock, the wrong key in the lock, now I can never put the real key in the lock. So it's, you know, this is the idea, or sticking a toothpick in the lock, or however the analogy is that can make you visualize this. And literally, when we get the B12 that we need for the function of our brain and our nervous system and so many things that we don't have time to get into today, we're eating soy and we're blocking our body's absorption of this. So this is a big concern for a lot of people. We have a lot of deficiencies. A lot of iron deficiency out there is really actually B12 deficiency that, you know, is backed up by a little bit of iron deficiency. And if you don't fix the B12, you'll never fix the iron deficiency. You may have heard of anemia. That's what we're talking about, B12 anemia and iron deficiency anemia.
You know, I spent 12 years. I don't think you actually know this. I spent 12 years as a vegetarian.
Oh, okay.
And I always used to joke that I was probably the most unhealthy vegetarian around because I was doing it for both health and moral reasons, but I still probably wasn't doing it to the best of my ability. But what you just mentioned there, even in the research that I did do to try to eat properly and get good amounts of proteins due from the lack of meat that you normally get the protein from and the other things that you got to watch out for when you're on a vegetarian diet, I never read that once that soy and possibly even other products could cause the nutrients that I was trying to get into my diet to be blocked.
Yeah, unfortunately. And, you know, again, that was some years back, too, right? So, again, you remember how I told you that what we're really doing is we're experimenting on humans, you know, because they tell you what they sign in a test tube, and then they, you know, we experiment on humans, and then we find out all these things, and we start saying, oh, maybe soy isn't a health food. Well, I'm here to tell you that this has actually been known for hundreds and hundreds of years in Asia, the information didn't, at least some of the basic things, where it's being a goitrogen or a thing that blocks thyroid function, it's been known for at least 50 years. The concept of anti-nutrients that, you know, the Chinese knew that there was something kind of natural toxin in anti-nutrients. They didn't have the names for it, but they knew about this for hundreds and hundreds of years. And, you know, as we are sometimes, we just say, oh, look, they're healthier than us. Let's go grab that, you know. Then there's something that's near and dear to my heart, which is this whole concept of MSG. So monosodium glutamate, we did a whole show on, so you can go back and listen to that and read the articles on it. But the free glutamic acid, or MSG, which, as we talked about before, is a neurotoxin, can be formed during the processing of soy foods. So now we're having actual toxic things going on to the nervous system, okay? That's what a neurotoxin is, the toxic toxins that go in and affect the brain and the nerves that make the body work. That's scary. And I've told you some stories, and you can go back to those other shows and how intense that can be. And then we go into, and I know it's a little bit of a list today, guys, but I just want to make sure we get some of this. You know, we go into aluminum, okay, which obviously is very toxic to the nervous system and also toxic to the kidneys. So because there's high amounts of aluminum in soy. And these are just some of the things. The simple things that, you know, might even maybe motivate some of our listeners more is that it creates serious gastric distress, reduces our body's ability to digest protein, and the protein's building blocks are called amino acids, and that amino acid uptake gets blocked. So we're not able to do that. And so that is really something for us to, you know, to recognize. A lot of people are going out there and they're getting tofu and, you know, bean curd is a, you know, and things like that, that, for meat and dairy, you know, for their meat and dairy products, and they like to replace the meat and dairy products they usually eat. And they're actually creating more calcium, magnesium, and iron deficiencies, as we were saying. I mean, we know that the nitrates that are in this soy, and I know this is me just going on and on today, but I just want to make sure we're hitting this. The nitrates in the soy are carcinogens, which means it's not that they cause cancer, but they are a cancer-causing agent. In other words, that plus something else can create cancer. So we want to be a little more careful about this concept to think about nitrates. Now, nitrates, you may have heard this before, because nitrates are often put into bacon. So that's why we tell people if you can eat bacon, you go to Whole Foods, you get the nitrite free, so that you're not getting these carcinogens in.
Now, wait a second. Didn't you just say earlier that we've been told to eat soy for things like breast cancer?
That's what some people have purported. If you go on the internet and you Google soy as a health food, and you'll see, oh, one of the things it does is helps balance estrogen. It may help with breast cancer. Yeah.
And at the same time, it has these nitrates that are carcinogens that have the possibility of getting combined with something else and actually causing cancer.
Right, exactly. And let me read this quote, because I think this quote is kind of neat to listen to. Thousands of women are now consuming soy in belief that it protects them against breast cancer. Yet in 1996, researchers found that women consuming soy protein isolate had an increased incidence of epithelial hyperplasia, a condition that presages malignancies, which precedes, is a fancy word to say, precedes malignancies. Malignancies, by the way, are cancer, okay? Mm-hmm. A year later, a dietary genistein was found to stimulate breast cells to enter the cycle, a discovery that led studies authors to conclude that the women should not consume soy products to prevent breast cancer. This is 1996. What year are we in?
2012.
You think you might have heard this somewhere along the way? No.
In the last 16 years, I would hope so.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is research is even out there to say, you know, that what everybody's purporting is not only a mistake, it's absolutely wrong, like creating the complete opposite effect. That's concerning to me, but that is what happens out there. So, you know, you just have to be cautious about where you get your information. That's why, you know, I do what I do. You know, that's why I coach people the way I coach. You know, my patients will email me or text me or, you know, ask me questions because they want to know what's the story? What's the real truth on this?
Well, we've still got a few minutes left in the show, but if you are concerned about this, I do want to recommend at this moment that you call Dr. Dan's office. Of course, he's here on the air. You won't reach him right away, but leave him a voicemail. Get in touch with him. Find out about his free workshops and seminars that you can attend to get better nutritional information. Take a private consult with Dr. Dan Cuney. He'll be glad to sit down and talk with you about your specific health concerns, and you can do that right now at 713-295-9358. That's 713-295-9358. That's Dr. Dan's office number, not the number to the show, and you can find more of the information that he's talking about on his website at drdanwellness.com. I almost gave out the show website. drdanwellness.com is his direct website where you can find it's really more information than I'm willing to read. That's why I just talk to the guy and say, Dr. Dan, help me figure this out so that I can be healthier. That's why I say just give him a call. DrDanWellness.com is the website, but you can call him at 713-295-9358. Now, Dr. Dan, I mean, this is just, the research on this is staggering. More and more reports like this and studies have been coming out on the different impacts that a supposedly healthy product like soy is having on us. When is this going to be mainstream knowledge?
Well, that's a good question, Stephen. Well, it's a challenge. You know, getting the information out there is what I do. You know, I look at things. There are nice websites like Weston Price, WestonAPrice.org that we've talked about before. There's links on my website before, you know, and you'll read a lot of these things. There's actually been some symposiums, okay, literally international soy symposiums, but you probably haven't heard anything about this, right? So, you know, these are not things that they're not trying to get out there. It's just unfortunate. I mean, when we get into, and we didn't even get into some of the things today because some of them are so controversial, you know, that they would rock some people's world. What I'm telling you is go read about this stuff, and then you make your decision. But I'm telling you, this is not the way to get your protein. Soy is not the answer. So I don't like putting people on soy protein at all. Okay, so if they're on a protein, you know, like shake, and that, get something besides soy. Whey is okay if you're not allergic to it. I personally like to use a mix of pea protein, rice protein, Corella protein, things like that. I have some that taste really good in my office, which you know helps people a lot, of course. And you know, that is a better way to kind of work at that. I would rather you get your protein from you know healthy animal products, but unfortunately most of us don't get enough, so sometimes we need to supplement a little bit. So
So whey is healthy for you?
Whey can be healthy for you if it's processed properly.
With curds? Does that mean that little Bo Peep led a long and healthy life?
Yes, that's exactly right. So it can be healthy for you. I don't go to it as the first thing I go to because there are a percentage of people that are allergic or at least intolerant. So what I do is I try to go to these others first, and if they do well on that and they like it, and then we go there. But there are, you can get very properly, very well done whey protein, but I don't like to get whey protein from animals that have been fed hormones. So then it becomes really hard to get whey protein.
Now there's this common misconception that, well, if you've heard it on the radio, it must be true. If you read it on the internet, well, then somebody must have done the research. I don't say that. I say do the research for yourself. You can start off with Dr. Dan's website, drdanwellness.com. He has compiled a lot of different resources where he references the original source material from that you can go online to drdanwellness.com and start going through the data yourself and seeing the science and the data and the facts that are behind what he's telling you today. We try to provide you with good quality information and advice from people who I trust. And Dr. Dan is one of those people. But I would never tell you to just take that information blindly. look at the research that Dr. Dan has put together. He's done a lot of it. He has spent his career making sure that he can back up what he's saying. And you can find a lot of that material online at drdanwellness.com. And if you, whether or not you read it all, or just some of it, and you want to talk to him in further detail, then give him a call at his office. He'll be available there the rest of today and throughout the week to help you either attend one of his free workshops that he holds monthly, or to have a private consult, or to just chat by phone and start to talk about some of the things that are in your health and diet that may concern you. You can call him at 713-295-9358. That's 713-295-9358. Again, online at drdanwellness.com, and he will be glad to help you out. And that's what I love about Dr. Dan and all of the show advisors here on LBM Radio, is they are there to help you improve your life, your business, your money for the better, so that you can have everything that you need that God has intended for you to achieve your goals and dreams. And your good health is just one of those things. So make sure you take care of it and call Dr. Dan today. 713-295-9358, drdanwellness.com. I'll be back to wrap up this episode in just a moment.